So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to preach tonight on defining moments. Defining moments. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, go ahead and turn there. As you turn there, let me reiterate what Pastor Justin has already said about this coming Saturday, this coming Sunday. We're going to have a great time. Most of you know John Jones. He has been a mentoree of mine for many years, but it's changed. And some of you will understand that he's no longer a mentoree. He's a colleague. He's a friend. He's one of my best friends. But the man can preach. And I know that you're going to be blessed this coming Sunday morning and Sunday night. Come out, be a part of that. And then the anniversary offering, I hope that you're praying and believing. You know, I don't know if the devil ever works on you like this, you know, but I've already got in my mind what I'm going to give and what I've been praying about, and it's significant in my opinion. It is for me. I mean, knows that sometimes $5 is significant to you according to where you at. Come on, somebody. But it's significant to me, but I'm getting ready, and then my wife calls me today, and she says, "Honey, your damsel is in distress." I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "The TV, I believe, has been hit by lightning." I said, "That devil is a liar." And I went home, and yes, it has been hit by lightning. And then, so not only has the TV been hit by lightning, but then the surround sound power situation, it's been hit. And he talked to JP over there, so he can give me some insight. It's been hit. And then my garbage disposal went out. Come on, somebody. And I could probably pay for all that for what I was going to give. Come on. Not what I was going to give, what I am going to give. Because that didn't change what God's still said. Amen. See, that you don't know that it's tested until God's told you to something and you could put it to what you think would be a better use. But here's what, let me tell you something. I lived for 30, 40 years of my life without a garbage disposal. And I lived quite a long time without a big screen TV. Come on, somebody. And I can still do it without surround sound. But I'm going to honor God, and God's going to honor me, and it's all going to be good. And it might not be next week. It might not be the next week after that. It might not be a month from now. But it'll all get replaced because God is faithful. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, I don't know why I'm telling you that. You know, I'm not looking for any, "Oh, look at him and how great." I just want you to know that, you know, sometimes people think because I'm up here, nothing ever happens to me. You know, nothing ever bad happens to you. You know, no, my life is not charmed. My life is blessed. Why? Because I bless him. And as long as he is in my, as a matter of fact, if everything is going wrong in my life is still blessed because he's in it. Come on, somebody. Defining moments. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you don't plan on going, say go ahead. Bunch of heathens. And I don't know why, but y'all know how my mind works. As soon as I see an Ahab, I'm thinking, Ahab, the Arab. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Let me just stop there for a moment, because this ain't in my notes, but just quit letting stuff run you to the wilderness. Quit letting life run you into the wilderness. Stay there in Judah. Judah means praise. Stay there at praise, man. Quit running into the wilderness. He went to praise, but he didn't stop there. He kept on going over into the wilderness. Quit letting people, quit letting situations, quit letting what people say run you to the wilderness. Because, and then it says, and he came and sat down under a broom tree. The King James Version, I believe, says juniper tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Well, let me stop right there. He prayed that he might die. Aren't you glad God don't answer every one of your prayers?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some of y'all prayed for that man, that woman. Then you see them several years later and going, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, before I left Wendy's and went into the pastorate, I was the owner of our franchise. He owned six stores, and we went. He brought me into the office one day, and he said, "Ronnie," he said, "I got an opportunity to buy another company of Wendy's. It's just a small two chain company." He said, "I'm thinking about buying it, but I'll only buy it if you go run it for me." I was like, "Oh, really?" He said, "I know you're called to preach." He said, "I'm going to give you 10% of the company. I'm going to give you a $150 a week raise. I'm going to give you a housing allowance and a company car if you'll go run it for me. And then I will give you the first right of refusal to buy it if I ever get ready to sell it." I'm like, all right. Do I got to pray about this? That's got to be God, right? But then I prayed. He didn't pray. He didn't know anything about praying. But Sherry and I began to pray because it meant we'd be moving. And we said, "God, if this is not your will, shut the door." We got ready to do the deal, and the other guy went up on, this was 30 years ago, the guy went up on the price, $100,000. He didn't go through with the deal, so I stayed where I was at, blah, blah, blah. About 6 months later, we found out that he was in the middle of a lawsuit, you know, and matter of fact, wound up being bankrupt and having to sell the company. What are you saying? I'm saying that I thought that was God. That I figured out a way how I could make money and preach and not have to worry about it because I was going to be a part owner of a franchise. But then, and I just didn't understand why that didn't go through. But God knew. Thank God that he doesn't answer all of the prayers that you pray. He answers. Sometimes he just says no. And sometimes he says not now. Sometimes he says you can't handle the truth. But anyway, he prayed that he might die, and he said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Verse 5 says, "And then he lay and slept under a broom tree, and suddenly an angel touched him," should have underlined that, "and said to him, arise and eat. And then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. And so he ate and drank and lay down again, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him. And said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your anointing, and thank you, God, for your presence. There's nothing like your presence. And Lord, I pray today that you would open our eyes so that we may see the truth. God, open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may understand your word. And open our hearts so that we may receive all that you want us to receive. And we give you thanks and praise in your name. Amen, amen, and amen. I read this quote today as I was doing a little bit of research on this sermon. And I read this quote, and it said, "Life is not made up of minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, or years, but of moments. You must experience each one before you can appreciate it." And then as I begin to think about it, I thought about that life is lived in seasons, but experienced in moments. That you may be in a season for quite a while, but once you experience the moment of the season, things change. You're in the season, but you haven't experienced the moment. And when you experience the moment of the season, it becomes a defining moment in your life. Well, what is a defining moment? Point number one for those of you taking notes. What is a defining moment? It is any time in your life in which a choice that you make or an incident that happens causes something in your life to change. When your life changes, when something happens, that yes, it may be an aha moment, but it is a defining moment that you know that life as you know it will never be the same again after this moment. It is something that from that moment on defines some aspect of your life. And the problem is we have allowed some tragedy and trouble to define our lives, but the tragedy and the trouble is not what God has called you to allow you to be defined by what happened, but God has called you to be a response to what happened and allow that to be a defining moment in your life. The tragedy will not dictate the rest of my life. The failure will not dictate the rest of my life. That which I tried to do but I failed will not dictate the rest of my life, because I know whose I am, and it is in Him that I live, move, and have my very being. I'm not just a divorcee. Somebody hear me. I'm not just a former addict or alcoholic. I am a child of the living God that lived through some stuff, but here I am today. That might have defined me then, but Jesus is defining me now. People have lots of defining moments throughout their lifetime. A defining moment can be when we move from child to teenager. Do you remember when you began to think about maybe you didn't notice it because you were in the middle of living through it? But we looked at our children and that defining moment when the switch clicked and we realized they were no longer children, but they were teenagers. When they were no longer teenagers, but become adults. When they were no longer adults, that they were something else. I'll leave that to you. That moment when you realize that they're 38 and they're still your baby. It can be a day when you got married, a defining moment. It could be a time when you had your first child. A defining moment might be when you graduate high school or graduate college. It might be during the death of a loved one. Many of us have experienced that. But as a Christian, having defining moments happen throughout our spiritual life. That as you grow in God, there will be obstacles and defining moments that if you make the right decision, it will change the course of your life. The day you became a Christian was a defining moment. I will never forget the day that I became Christian. The night that I accepted Jesus as my Savior. It was a September night on a Sunday night. And again, I won't go through the whole details, but I was my own first convert. I sang myself under conviction. And I'll never forget the moment when I gave my heart to Christ. It was a defining moment in my life. There's an old song that says, I never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and sing. And I never shall, what is the rest of it? I'll sing it and shout it because it means everything to me. So have you had one of those defining moments? That's the question. Because sometimes you ask people, well, when did you get saved? Well, I don't know. I kind of always been saved. No, you haven't. You haven't always been saved. At some point in time, I can tell you that at 4 years of age, my youngest daughter, or my oldest daughter, her and I and Sherry, I believe, was with us, that we were at Inverness Church of God. Mark Gorman was preaching and gave an altar call for salvation. And my four-year-old daughter raised her hand and said the sinner's prayer. It was a defining moment. Pastor, are you kidding me? No, I'm not. My wife and I looked at each other. We did not prompt helped her. It is something that she did, and it was a defining moment in her life. Listen to me, church. If you've never had a defining moment when you gave your heart to Christ, maybe you need to go back to Calvary and let the Lord just let his blood shed again upon your life and let it be a defining moment, because I didn't just kind of always been saved. I remember when I turned my life over to Jesus Christ and I gave him everything, and I said, from this day forward, I will be yours and you will be mine. Now, that doesn't mean that when I said that, I did it every day. But I remember it was a defining moment. A defining moment could be when you weathered a tough storm or you discovered a biblical truth for the first time. Remember when that happened? When you finally went, oh, that's what that means. When you weathered a storm and you don't even know when exactly it happened, you just, my God, help me out. Somebody, I feel the anointing. You just kept walking through it. You didn't know when you came out of it. You just kind of woke up one day and realized, well, bless God, I'm through that situation. It is not holding me down any longer. I can't put my finger on the day that I came through, but thank God I'm through. A defining moment. See, there are two things about defining moments that are true. First, people are not limited to just one defining moment of your lifetime. Thank you, Jesus. And secondly, defining moments will have a huge impact upon our lives when they happen. Most likely, once you have the defining moment, you will never be the same again. Once you have a defining moment, some aspect of your life will change. There have been many defining moments in the lives of human beings, in my life, that has changed our lives forever and set the course that would follow the balance of their life forever and ever. A defining moment happened 10 years ago this coming Sunday when we moved into this building. Maybe some of you were here. It was a defining moment. It was a defining moment. I remember it was a defining moment when we realized that our builder was not doing all that he was supposed to do, and we were in a bad situation. It was a defining moment, not in a good way. Are you listening to me? Defining moments are not always wonderful unless you view them correctly and you adhere to them correctly and you respond to them correctly. Many of these defining moments are recorded in God's Word. The Bible is a great place to see good examples of defining moments. Moses had a number of defining moments in his life. When he found the burning bush, it changed his life. When he came upon the burning bush and God spoke to him, it changed his life. When he stood before Pharaoh and he seen the power of God, it was a defining moment. And then when he stood in the Red Sea in front of him and the armies of Egypt behind him and the Lord split open the Red Sea, it was another defining moment. Every miracle that he ever went through was a defining moment. And can I tell you that, look back over your life and every miracle that God has ever done, every struggle that God's ever brought you through, let it be a defining moment of your life and say, I'll never go back to believing that God isn't who he said he was. A defining moment. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had defining moments when they were taken captivity. Daniel had a defining moment when they put him in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they throwed him to the fiery furnace, it was a defining moment, because at that moment they had to make a decision. Is God who he said he is, or will we bend? Will we bow? No, we're not going to bend. We're not going to bow. And by the power of God, we will not burn. You've got to have those defining moments in your life. King David had many defining moments that affected him positive and negatively. It was a defining moment when he stayed home when he should have been at war. See, that's what happens when you should be somewhere where you should be. You're not where you should be. Stuff happens. But I don't know why I got arrested, because you shouldn't have been there. I don't know why I got pulled over. I just had three beers. You shouldn't have been there. Well, I don't know, Pastor, the affair, it just happened. You shouldn't have been there. If you'd have been where you're supposed to have been, none of this would have happened. Woo! Preach to him, Pastor. But if we'll do that, honey, David was there and he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be leading the armies of Israel, but that wasn't where he was. He stayed at home at the time of war. And because he wasn't where he was supposed to be, all of this hell came on him. He saw Bathsheba. Well, that was a defining moment. He saw her, but he could have stopped right there, but he didn't. He began to devise a plan to get her. He slept with her. And then he devised another plan to kill her husband so that he might have her. Defining moment. But then, bless God, when Nathan came to him and called him out on his sin, instead of trying to say, I didn't do it, he's turned from it and he repented, because it was a defining moment when God shows you your sin, when God shows you your situation, when God shows you that you're in the wrong. Maybe do about faith right then and say, I'm guilty, God, I'm guilty. Let that be a defining moment of your life. Sometimes the decision that we make can be the wrong decision, and we need to understand that. The Apostle Paul had three defining moments, probably more. But he had a defining moment when he held the coats for those who stoned Stephen in the New Testament. There was another defining moment when he was headed on the Damascus Road and he was struck by blindness. He had the Damascus Road experience. And then thirdly, when he accepted Jesus as his Savior. I could go on and on. If there are examples, we could just go through the Bible and talk about the defining moments that caused them to experience something that they had beyond their human experience. But listen, something that took them out of their paradigm of life. Sometimes that made them move outside the box. And when that happened, they were never the same again. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell them, stuff happens. But it doesn't have to define who you are. In that moment, point number two, let's talk about it. We go back to our text in 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's talk about Elijah's meltdown moment. I'm so glad you don't have meltdowns. Yeah, we're having one right now over there, right, Weston? He said, Mama won't feed me. Is that what it said, problem? I feed that baby. Elijah's, Weston's meltdown moment. And if you're not careful, somebody else's meltdown moment may cause you to melt down. Oh, that'll preach right there. But I want us to look at our text. Because here Elijah had done miracles, came up to Ahab and in the beginning and told him there will be no dew according to my word. Miracle after miracle, but then all it took was a woman. He stood up against everything else, but he ran from a woman. Smart man. He ran because she said, the Bible said he saw what she had said. It's one thing to hear what somebody said. It's another thing to see what somebody has said. But I want to look at this for a moment, because in our text, he let fear move him away from his assignment. What assignment did you not tackle because of fear? What assignment did you not fulfill because of fear? Now, I know that many of you wouldn't believe this right now, but Pastor Cash was a very shy, freckle-faced, red-headed boy 100 years ago. I know you won't believe this, but I'm a little bit shy. Yeah, I know. What fear have you let move you away from your assignment? He walked away from his assignment. And the Bible said that he went to Beersheba and he left his servant there. He walked away from his support system because of a threat. What the devil wants to do is get you alone. That's why the devil don't want you in the house of God. He don't want to get you around anybody who can encourage you. He wants to get you around somebody who's woe is me and agony on me. Gloom, dark, depression, and excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, you'd have no luck at all. The rest of it. Only people about 40 or 50 going to understand that anyway. Hee-haw. Look it up. Good, clean stuff. He walked away from his support system. That's why the devil wants to keep you out of focus track. That's why the devil wants to keep you out of a small group. That's why he wants to keep you out of the house of God. Because he wants to isolate you and get you over by yourself, because you are no match to the power of hell. But can I tell you that he is no match for the power of heaven? And I know some of you are like, well, me and Jesus, we got our own thing working. No, you don't, baby. You need the people of God around you. You need some people praying on you, because here's what the word of God said. Jesus said one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. There's some times you got to have some reinforcement. Enforcement that you can't do it by yourself. God did not call you to be an island unto yourself, because here we have a prophet of God who miracle after miracle was happening, but when he got all alone, all he wanted to do was die. He left his support system in Beersheba. Don't you go to the wilderness alone. Don't you even go to the wilderness. Don't leave your support system. Be around the people of God so that they can talk you out, so that they can pray you out, so that they can fight for you. Don't leave it. He spoke out of his exhaustion instead of his faith. Because when fatigue walks in, faith walks out. Everybody's been at that place where you prayed all you know how to pray. You've done all that you know how to do. That's when you need somebody. Listen to me closely. That's when you need somebody to pray with you, not just for you. You know, people love for folks to pray for you. Call Miss Bobby. She's praying all the time. Bobby, pray for me. I'm not going to do anything for myself, but you pray for me. You fast for me, Bobby. I'm not going to fast for anything, but you fast for me, Bobby. Sharon, I need you to pray, Sharon. I need Lord Jesus, Sharon, pray. Pastor Cash, pray. Pastor, fast. You fast for me. Pastor Ronnie, I need you to pray for me. Well, are you praying for yourself? Uh-huh. And if you're praying for yourself, quit running away from the support system.
That's right.
Stay in the house of God.
Amen.
Point number three is this. Elijah's meltdown moment, but then he had a God moment. Boy, I love the fact that God didn't accept his resignation letter. I quit. No, you didn't. I quit. No, you're not. I resign. I know you didn't. I tried that with PJ. It didn't work. I quit. No, you didn't. I'm not accepting it. You're not resigning. You're not resigning. Because, see, when you're talking to God, you can't throw the God card down. Let me tell you, when you're talking to me, when you throw the God card down, what else am I going to say? Because I'm not God. But when you throw the God card down, the conversation's over unless it has a deal with me. Pastor, you're supposed to give me $100, and God said it. Well, God's going to have to talk to me. All right? God ain't said nothing to me about no $100. Matter of fact, I believe he said the opposite. I was dealing with a situation at another church, and our church was helping this church out, and God had given me a plan for this church, and I'd prayed for a couple of weeks, and it was a pretty big deal. And long story short, there was a guy there were several in the audience. I said, Pastor Reed, we don't believe that that's the will of God. I said, well, I believe it is the will of God. He goes, well, we don't believe it is the will of God. I said, okay, well, you're behind on your mortgage, and I do believe that this is the will of God for us to do this. And he goes, well, we don't believe it. So I had the check there that our church had wrote. I picked up the check and I said, well, unless anybody else is willing to put their money where they feel like the will of God is, Because if I'm going to pay for it, I'm going to have to go with what I think God has said.
Amen.
Nobody said anything, so we went with my plan. Come on, somebody. It's easy to tell you what God's plan is when it don't cost you nothing. But David said, I'll offer unto God that which I will not offer unto God that which cost me nothing. And can I tell you that if you're going to serve God and if you're going to have a couple of defining moments, then you're going to go through some times that it will cost you to obey God. It will cost you to serve God. It might even cost you some relationships. It might cost you some money. It might cost, but you do what God has said. Because if God had said, he'll always bring it back around. Come on, somebody. God didn't accept the resignation letter of old Elijah. But he went there and laid under the juniper tree. And he sat down and wanted to die. But I love verse 5 when the Bible says, then he lay and slept under a broom tree, and suddenly an angel touched him. A God moment. An angel of the Lord touched him. The angel touched him. Can I tell you there's something about the touch of God? Whew. My God. Pastor, what makes y'all act like that? What makes you act like you got Tourette's? It's the touch of God. All of a sudden you think about something, you go, oh, glory to God. Or all of a sudden he just reaches down and touches your heart and you go, glory to God. Come on, Mama Viola. You know what I'm talking about. Why? Because it's God just touched you. And when the angel of God touches you, you respond to his touch. And you go, well, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why I shake sometimes. That's why my head does like a chicken. That's why I do the old chicken crawl sometimes. Because I feel the touch of God in my life. I feel the touch of God on my body, and I can't help but to respond to the touch of God. Baby, some of you, what you really need, you don't need the touch of a man, a touch of a woman, but you need the touch of God. You need the angel of God to come into your situation and touch you. There's something about the touch. Bible said, and then the angel fed him. He fed him in due season. Woo! He was hungry. And the Bible said he fed him in Psalms 145. It says, the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living creature. He fed him. But I like what the angel did. The angel touched him. The angel fed him. And then he said, get up! Now, I understand that, God. You know, you ever talk to people, and they're always talking about how God is just, oh, the Lord just spoke so softly to me and said, my son, I just love you so much. And God almost sounds like a sissy. He don't talk to me that way usually. He talks to me the way I understand. Get up! Slap me upside my head. Quit that cry! Even use a child. Come on, somebody. I know from time to time we need that easy voice. But I don't know about you. I'm a little, don't you say amen, I will come out there. I'm a little hard-headed. I'm a real dude, and I need God sometimes just to talk to me. And when I'm over at God, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go to the garden and eat some worms. It ain't fair when everybody, shut up and get out. My God, somebody hear me. Some of you ain't been told shut up and good enough. Boy, I'm gonna ask, there's going to be some marital trouble out of this one. I can tell you that right now. No, but I'm telling you, some of you ain't been told shut up and get up. And so therefore, you can't take nothing. That's why everything takes you down. Instead of builds you up, it takes you down. And that's why you can't stand up against anything. I had somebody private messaged me the other day, and it was a dude. He was like, excuse me, oh, shut up. My God, grow up, boy. I wonder why I don't get as much counseling as I once did. Because I'm going to go ahead and just tell it like it is. Some people just need me to take my belt off and beat you upside the backside with it and get you to grow up some. That's right. We didn't have as many sissies as we did when before we stopped whooping kids. I know some adults. I ain't going to call no names. But I love the fact that the angel said, wake up and get up. Your weakness will not define you. Somebody hear me. Everybody in this room has a weakness. But my weakness will not define me. God will define me. I will not be a defining moment because I'm weak. It'll be a defining moment because when I am weak, He is strong. Proverbs 24:15 says that the godly man trips seven times, but they will get up again. But no one disaster is enough to overflow the wicked. One disaster, people go, ah, like Barney Fife trying to get that one bullet out of his pocket. You got more than one bullet, baby. Good Lord. I got to hurry. Get up. Why? Because God called you to get up. Everybody talking, well, you know, somebody hurt my feelings. I don't think I'm going to go to church today. I'd never come to church if I only came when people didn't hurt my feelings. Get up! The angel of God touched him, called him to get up. Get up. Look at your neighbor and tell him, get up! Look back at him and say, sit down. Here's what I love. The Bible said that the angel of the Lord touched him, told him to get up. He fed him and told him to get up. But I love the fact that it goes another verse and it says, and the angel of the Lord touched him again. Whew. Touch me again, God. Touched him again. See, the angel touched him again. The first touch was for his body, but the second touch was for his spirit. Somebody hear me. Well, if he had enough power, wait a minute, baby. Jesus, if you'll remember the story that Jesus touched the blind man. And he said, can you see? He said, I see men as trees. He said, well, that's not good enough clarity. And so he touched him again, and he was able to see clearly. Some of you got the first touch, and you're seeing as trees, and you praising God that you can see a little bit. But God is saying, that's not what I've got for you. I've got clarity for you. I've got clear for you. Let me touch you again. I want God to touch me every day of my life. Don't think just because you were once touched that God is through touching you. Listen, I'm telling you right now. When it comes to the things of God, I'm a big old hog. I don't know if y'all know any much about hogs. I know you know about some hogs over there, Matt. Used to be breeding hogs and selling them and everything and stuff. He knows all kinds of stuff about hogs. He can know stuff about hogs I don't even want to know about. But man, when them hogs get to eating, if you ain't eating yours, they'll move you out of the way and get yours. And that's the way I am. God, if you're going to touch anybody, touch Ronnie. Lord, if you're going to come in this house, I want you to touch me. Lord, if you're going to touch anybody, touch me first. Well, Pastor, that's not very Christian. Yes, it is. Because I need the touch of God. If I'm going to touch anybody else, I need the touch of God. And if God, you're going to come in here, Lord God, if Mary don't want hers, I'll take it. Lord, if Jim don't want his, I'll take it. Lord, if Ruth don't want hers, I'll take it. God, I'll take whatever is left over. I'll taking what you ain't got to look at anybody. We was out to eat with Pastor Anthony. You know, he's 27. He's young, and him and Josh, they're the expose alls. What do you mean? They expose of every food that is not ate on the table. So it was the first time with Pastor Anthony and Pastor Sherry. My wife was finishing her. She had a little part of a burrito left. And Pastor Anthony said, "Sister Sherry." He said, he was smooth. He said, "You got future plans for that burrito?" He what? Yeah. Now see, listen. And Josh was ready to ask, but Anthony beat him. So you can just sit there in your seat if you want to. That's why I worship the way that I worship. That's why I move the way I move. That's why I dance the way I dance. Because baby, you can sit there and get the scraps if you want to. But if there's any left over, I want to be the first in line. Touch me again. Touch me again. Would you lift up your hands and say, "Touch me again"? Touch me again. The Bible said the first touch was for his body, the second was for his spirit, and he went 40 days in the strength of the second touch. My God, somebody hear me. He went 40 days in the strength of the second touch. Let me bring it down. Let me bring it home. Point number four, my last one. The eternal moment. Urabasa. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. Just bring it down a little bit there, Josh. And then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" I've often wondered, and I've preached on this several times about, was it the wind, it wasn't the fire, it wasn't the earthquake, it was the still small voice. But I believe the Lord gave me a little revelation today. I was probably because I was in Pastor Cash's office when it hit. I did some studying over in Brother Cash's office, my old desk, kind of felt good. But the Bible said he wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. The earthquake, the fire, and the wind was not the voice of God. It was the entourage announcing that God was there. I want you to hear that. He was not in those things. It was the entourage announcing that he was there. Can I tell you? It's not always in the tears. It's the announcement that God is here. God is in this place. Defining moment. They were announcing that God is there. They are there to announce God's presence. They're like the bailiff in the courtroom. When you walk in, when the judge arrives, the bailiff says, "All arise. The honorable judge so-and-so is in the house. Court is now in session. When all these things are happening, you know that God is in the house. Your next assignment, I'm done, may flow from your broom tree moment when God touches you again. Oh, how many are glad that God didn't just touch you once? Whew. I'm so glad God didn't touch me just once. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. A defining moment. My brother told me earlier before service, he said, "Pastor, I stand here before you today cancer free." A defining moment, come on. A defining moment, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I promise you his life will never be the same. Ooh. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. Made a way where there was no way. And I believe, yeah, 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 I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. Here's what I want to do. You're in this house today. Maybe you need a second touch. Maybe you need the first touch. Maybe you need to come to know Jesus. I don't know what it is you need. It's a Wednesday night, man. Spirit Life Team, come now quickly. Quickly while the waters are troubled. While the waters are troubled. Hey, hey, yeah, yeah. If you need prayer, you want prayer, you can either come to those that are here, or maybe you just want to come to the altar. You ain't got to go to one of them. But if you want God to touch you, you need a defining moment. Maybe you need that second touch. Come on, just step out right now. If you want special prayer, come to some of these that are up here. If you just wanting God to touch you, just come on. Come on. Hey, I've seen you move. God bless you. We're going to worship and you're dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.